Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:03 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is November 1st, and I suspect there are a lot of people in the financial industry will be glad that October is finally over. And we've certainly seen a rebound on risk assets in here today, but I thought I would kick off by looking at oil prices, because Brent crude is down $2.29, and this is now putting the price back below the trend mean for the first time since about the same time back in 2017. And the reason that, well, first off, let's just look at the consistency of the trend. Over the course of the second half of 2017, reactions were contained with two approximately $5 pullbacks. Each of those pullbacks was one above another. Then we had a somewhat larger pullback to the region of the trend mean, and then that was a $10 reaction. Then it was followed by a $10 breakout from the previous peak, and then the next reaction was $10, and then the next breakout did not quite move up $10 from the previous peak, but it has pulled back by more. This is the biggest pullback relative to the previous consistency that we've seen since the beginning of 2018, and it's the biggest pullback in real terms since we've seen since the beginning of 2017. So this also helps to highlight the fact that, excuse me, I'm just going to cough, helps to highlight the fact that oil prices don't generally tend to be particularly consistent, but they do occasionally have times that are consistent, and then when they become less consistent, it tells us that the imbalance between supply and demand that had created the consistency is rolling over. Well, U.S. Supply has increased by approximately 2 million barrels a day in the last 6 or 7 months, and that's very impressive. That's also representing a significant headwind to global supply containment that OPEC has been attempting to do. It's also, of course, questioning OPEC's ability to have a greater influence on the market. And it's one of the key commodities where we're seeing a big increase in supply, whereas that's not really the case in the vast majority of others. Well, if we look at the chart, it's very simple that oil prices need to bounce in an emphatic manner from the current level, or we're looking at a much deeper correction. So that's likely to weigh on the resources sector. But what I found particularly interesting is that Royal Dutch Shell came through with rather impressive profits, but and that did initially lead to a rebound. But now the question is whether that 2400 point or P level is going to hold if oil prices do in fact break below their trend mean, which is, I think, a bit of a standout considering that we've seen the vast majority of other commodities bouncing in a pretty emphatic manner in here today. Copper, for example, had an upside key day reversal, and it really did need to bounce, and now we've seen the bounce. So this could potentially be a higher reaction low for the copper price, and it really does need it if the bulls are to be vindicated in here. But a sustained move above the trend mean would reconfirm a return to demand dominance beyond steadying. And gold prices were also firm in here today, up $18 and pushing right up to the upper side of the range. Silver is exhibiting some bullish trampolining from around the $14.25 level, and it went from the lower to the upper side of its range in here today, whereas platinum, which has been leading over the course of the last while, broke out to new recovery highs. So that has now really quite emphatically broken the sequence of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of this year, and it is pressuring the region of the trend mean. Well, if it can push back above the trend mean, then it's going to be pushing up into the overhead trading range, and we can start to begin to think about a return to medium-term demand dominance. So this also helps to highlight the fact that the precious metals are quite highly leveraged to the dollar price on the upside. That as soon as we see some weakness coming through in the dollar, then the commodities are really starting to turn to performance in a rather emphatic manner. And considering that the dollar has been really quite firm over the course of the last 6 weeks, gold had been relatively inert. So, in terms of generally speaking, gold tends to do best when it is appreciating versus all currencies. As a monetary metal, it's best compared to other monetary instruments. And when it is the strongest currency out there, well, then that's when it tends to attract the greatest number of investors. Well, the euro was firm in here today, and it is finding at least near-term support in the region of the August low, and there is a short-term oversold condition, so there's certainly potential for a rebound in here, but it would need to sustain a move back above the trend mean to question the medium-term downward bias. The pound was also firmer in here today. It's been ranging below the trend mean now for much of the last few months, but it was up over 2 cents in here today, back above the 130 area, and this does look like, I think, a support building phase. And of course, for the pound and the euro, it's all about the Brexit negotiations and the outlook for a positive outcome. But Italy continues to represent a medium-term threat in terms of the resolve of the populist government to push through their heavy spending plans, and that does represent something of an existential threat to Europe. So I think it would be a little bit remiss of us to simply think that the dollar is going to decline in a very big way. There is the additional point, of course, that the weakness in oil prices due primarily to additional supply coming from the US, that the prospect of the US becoming truly energy independent at some point in the next few years is a significant tailwind for the US economy, and that is likely to be a tailwind for the currency market, which isn't something, it doesn't seem to be an argument I'm seeing made very much, but turning from being a, what, well, being the biggest importer of the most important commodity in the world to being a net exporter in the space of less than a decade is transformational in terms of a country's finances. So that is, I think, something that the that will benefit the dollar over the medium term. But what we are seeing is a rebound in risk assets, and I think when we think about the fact that the dollar is a safe haven asset, well, with the rebound in appetite for risk, we're seeing some weakness coming through in the dollar, and I think that is the biggest explaining factor behind the rebound that we've seen in here today. Well, what we're definitely seeing in Wall Street is a rebound in here, and the market has been up now for 3 consecutive days. It's also unwinding rather rapidly the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. For the S&P 500, it has bounced from the region of the lower side of its range. Well, the dynamic of the failure when it failed, when we had the failed upside break, suggested that it was going to come right back down and test the lower side of the range, and it's done that. Now the next question is, will it be able to hold this low? And so far, so good. Well, we're definitely seeing that there are some shares are very oversold. Western Digital, for example, has fallen from over $100 at the beginning of this year to 40. It was up over 10% in here today. And now we're starting to see just this first evidence of support starting to come through. Then when we look at Newell Brands, it's been trending lower for more than a year. It's very overextended relative to the trend mean. We're also starting to see just the first evidence of support starting to come through there. One thing that's one of the defining characteristics of these kinds of shares that have been really quite heavily oversold, where, for example, we see that Applied Materials is posting an upside weekly key reversal. Well, it has an estimated PE of 8. It's yielding 2.25, and the dividend growth rate over the last 5 years is about 9%, and over 1 year it's 50%. So these are, I think, starting to become rather interesting companies. Samsung Electronics is obviously very heavily influenced by the outlook for the semiconductor sector, but the share has been contracting for most of the last 12 months. It's got an estimated PE of 5 and it yields 3.5. So it would be hard to say that these kinds of companies are expensive. Now, there is a raging argument going on about whether this is a dead cat bounce or whether we've seen a low of more than short-term significance in here in terms of risk assets and the outlook for the global stock markets. Well, there is the possibility that that it is a dead cat bounce. That's potentially an outcome. We don't seem to have any real evidence of a recession that's imminent, and I certainly can't see any. And there is the prospect here that some of the factors that people have been worried about could get better, and that this is an important low. But if we're looking at value, well, we know that a lot of bad news has already been priced in. But then when we look at the kinds of companies that benefit in a rising interest rate environment, well, it isn't those that are highly leveraged because they're heavily influenced by the interest rate cycle, whereas the kinds of companies that have got strong cash flows and have been increasing their dividends are exhibiting relative strength. And it's when we think about what is it that's likely to lead, well, we have to at least pay some due consideration to the to relative strength in this kind of environment that. Instruments that are exhibiting relative strength following a very stiff pullback are doing so for a reason. And trying to thread a line of commonality between those that are outperforming gives us I think, a clue as to what is likely to be the more bullish phenomenon over the next 6 to 12 months. Well, we can clearly see that, for example, Apple, which is going to be reporting earnings imminently, has rebounded from the region of the trend mean. So has Microsoft, and done so in a pretty emphatic manner in here. Then Cisco Systems has got a rather similar pattern as well, that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. Even companies that are somewhat more leveraged, well, Illumina today bounced from the region of the trend mean, and that did have very clear evidence of acceleration higher. So it was due some consolidation. It's getting it as well. But then we should also look at companies like Coca-Cola, that it's had this very mild upward bias for the last 5 years, but now it does look to be primed to be pushing for new highs. Nestlé, which is also another big globally oriented consumer company, has attracted a greater investor attention in here recently. Johnson and Johnson, Procter and Gamble, Yum! Brands, these are all companies that are either firming from the region of their respective trend means or pushing on to new highs. And of course, all of them have got dividend growth rates that have tended to outpace inflation. They have got big global franchises and very solid cash flows and balance sheets. So that is would appear to be the answer. That within the technology sector, it is companies that have adopted a subscription business model which smooths out their cash flows and therefore makes the predictability of their dividend payout ratios are their and their dividend growth rates somewhat more reliable, then they are certainly benefiting in this current environment, because we have an environment where interest rates are rising, where bond yields are rising, and in that kind of environment, fixed interest rates are being locked in a portfolio aren't particularly advantageous, and that does put pressure on the potential for bonds to offer some stability in a balanced portfolio. The fact that TIPS yields are breaking higher is, I think, representative of the fact that inflationary pressures are running ahead of the way that governments tend to measure them. And this is a very clear breakout from what has effectively been a 5-year range. Well, if one is holding even inflation-protected securities and they're doing this, well, that would suggest that the fixed income sector, even if we're looking at floating rate or inflation-protected bonds, that they're all likely to be susceptible to selling pressure. Whereas if we take a leaf out of what the Bank of Switzerland and the Bank of Japan have been doing, is that they've been supplementing their state reserves with shares in solid businesses, and therefore the potential here is that investors will start to look at autonomy or dividend aristocrat type companies as with true bond-like or inflation-protected characteristics, because they are more like floating rate bonds than floating rate bonds themselves. Well, the Japanese market was in mildly negative territory in here today, but it's firmed somewhat in the futures markets, but so far it continues to hold this 20,000 level. Then when we look at what's going on in Europe, well, the majority of markets were in positive territory, and the DAX is unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But the big question for Germany is, will it be able to push back on above that trend mean? There is a clear conclusion that we can see here that, for example, the DAX has experienced more trending consistency than the S&P 500 has. So I think that's one consideration that should be paid attention to. Then when we look at what's going on in terms of the FTSE 100, it has continued to hold this 7,000 level, and 7,000 represents the upper side of that underlying 16-year range. Then when we look at what's going on in the Australian market, well, the rebound that we've had in the Aussie dollar has also helped to improve the outlook for the ASX 200, but again, this is another index that has experienced a greater degree of inconsistency. So that also gives us a clue as to where the risks were perceived to be, and there is certainly the scope here for an unwinding of oversold conditions, but not every share or index is going to react in the same way. That where there is a clear value proposition, or where there is a clear hedge against inflation, that's likely to be for the kinds of companies that bounce first. But then we're going to need to see some broad-based policy support for the markets in order to really demonstrate that to investors that we're back in a liquidity abundant environment. That's why China is so important to keep an eye on, because that's the region that has been making the most noise about a potential fiscal stimulus. But the A-share index was not quite able to hold all of its advance in here today. And it really does need to demonstrate that it can break its sequence of lower rally highs, and it hasn't been able to do that just yet. One of the most oversold shares anywhere is Tencent, and it has bounced over the course of the last 2 days, but not in an especially dynamic manner. And yes, there is certainly an oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but the sequence of lower rally highs also remains intact. That's the minimum requirement that would need to be broken in order to really demonstrate more than simple short-term steadying. Then when we look at the renminbi, well, we've certainly seen that the dollar has been weak against the majority of currencies, and the renminbi was a little bit firmer in here as well today. So certainly the potential here is for some downside follow-through for the dollar, and potentially an unwinding of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. The Chinese need a weaker currency, but they don't want it all in one go. So there is the potential here for some steadying. Certainly when we look at the outlook for markets, well, the commodity complex is quite oversold and is rebounding faster than just about anything else, not least because it seems to be that investors seem to be less inclined to sell during periods of dollar strength, and then they increase positions when the dollar starts to rally. Some weakness coming through in the dollar is potentially positive for the Nifty in India, because investors will be keeping a close eye on how the rupee performs. Well, I think assuming that this rebound in the rupee is held over the course of the next few days, well, we can conclude then that the dollar has put in a lower rally high, and it hasn't done that in quite a while. So this is, I think, a rather important development for the rupee, considering just how oversold it is. And investors will be looking at that rather closely, because if we do start to see a steadying currency, well, that will be a green light for people to start getting interested in India once more. And not least because there are a substantial number of instruments in India that are really quite oversold. And Yes Bank is looking increasingly likely that it is putting in a higher reaction low in here right now. So I think we're at a very interesting juncture, because there are certainly a lot of shares that are overextended relative to their respective trend means. And now the question is, how far are they going to rally? Are they going to be able to push back above it? And most particularly, will they be able to put in a higher reaction low the first time that they pull back? And if they can do that, well, at least that would then demonstrate that people are willing to pay more on the pullback, or they're willing to buy before lows are retested, because they're afraid of missing out. And that's generally representative of a more bullish environment. So I think this is a very interesting time, and not least because we've had such a high degree of volatility. There is certainly the prospect that the US and China will come to some form of accommodation, and if that does in fact occur, well, then that would be cause for celebration in markets. What is particularly interesting is that valuations on Wall Street right now are almost exactly where they were before the presidential election 2 years ago. And of course, we have the congressional elections next week. So that also helps to highlight the fact that the market has now completely priced out the Trump bump. And they're already assuming that there is going to be complete intransigence on the policy front in Wall Street, or sorry, in Washington, for the next 2 years. But considering that that is the conclusion that's already been priced in, well, even if there is the potential that if the outcome is not quite that bad, then we could see a significant rally here. So I think we are at rather interesting levels for a significant number of markets in here, and this is a particularly important time to be monitoring them, because we've seen Wall Street pull back, but it has been the region that has held up best, and now we're seeing that it is rallying. There is also the potential here that Europe will eventually play catch up, but of course it has got awfully big questions, which is responsible for its underperformance. China has been underperforming all year, and that is certainly starting to gain attention in Beijing, but we need to see substantive evidence of support for the market. So there are a number of potential positive catalysts that we can anticipate, but we haven't seen them just yet. So this is, I think, an important time to be really quite, I think, diligent in monitoring trends. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.